You've been a careful steward, working hard, saving your money, and spending wisely. Now what? Hi, I'm Rob West. Being able to live comfortably and afford the things you need seems like a worthy goal. Today, we'll look at having a surplus from a biblical perspective. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, maybe we don't do this enough. Speak directly to the faithful listeners who already follow God's principles in their finances. You've been living with integrity and making wise choices with your money for years and years. Well, we're talking to you today. First of all, well done. Financial faithfulness is a big deal. It takes sacrifice, commitment, and patience. You've paid off debts, worked hard at one or more jobs, invested wisely, and built your savings. More importantly, you understand that everything belongs to God. Your responsibility is to faithfully and humbly take care of what He's provided. As a Christian, you know the future is in God's hands. Markets rise and fall, and your economic realities may change, but God is always faithful. You also know that following biblical financial principles is the wise thing to do, and now you find yourself with a surplus. What's next? Now, I can hear you thinking, I don't have a surplus. I'm just getting to where I can keep my head above water financially. I get that. Let me clarify what we mean by a surplus. In effect, a surplus is any money God has provided above what you need to live. The late Larry Burkett calls it prosperity. He goes on to say, God is not against prosperity. It's one of His blessings to those who love and obey Him. For one person, a surplus of money represents a trust from God that can be used for current and future needs. For another, it represents a trap of Satan to lead him out of God's path. Scripture warns us that having a surplus is more dangerous than having a need. If your surplus leads you into desire for more, then it's become a spiritual trap for you. 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10 explains it this way. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. You might think it's possible to focus on getting and keeping wealth and be devoted to God at the same time. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If it's too dangerous to focus on getting rich and impossible to serve God and money at the same time, what's the godly alternative? Well, according to Jesus in Luke 12, 21, we're supposed to be rich toward God instead. When Jesus is what you value most, you're placing your trust in treasure that's eternal and imperishable. God's abundance offers so much more than worldly riches do, including power for living and peace in your heart. So what's God's perspective on financial surpluses? Well, in 1 Samuel 16:7, we learn that the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Two things come to mind with regard to how we manage a surplus. First, we are to be imitators of Christ. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. How we use our surplus should reflect the God we serve. God is a generous Father, faithful and sacrificial in his dealings with us. We must be that way toward others. Second, we must be in the world but not of it, according to John 17, 11, and 16, in the way we handle our surplus. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains that God's power doesn't follow worldly priorities. True power is displayed through self-giving love. Through the power of generosity, we can participate in God's work in the world. When God blesses you with a surplus, it's important to see it for what it is, a physical blessing with a spiritual purpose. According to Larry Burkett, the important thing is to have a plan for the use of potential surpluses, planning before the money becomes available. Here's a final word from 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Wow, that's powerful. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Yesterday was Father's Day. For some, a day with mixed emotions. Some of us grew up with great reasons to be thankful for our fathers, but others grew up without the presence of a father, or perhaps a father who passed away too soon. Whatever the case might be in your life and with your father, here is some encouragement for you. In Christ, you are adopted into a family with an always present Heavenly Father. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Your Father remains by your side. Your Heavenly Father has shaped you, molded you, and is not done yet. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
So your hands are covered in gunk and you realize it's time for your favorite AFR show. If you have an Alexa device, just ask Alexa to play the appropriate live stream. You can also listen to a particular podcast from a specific day or find out when a show airs, all without using your hands. To find out all about how Alexa can help you enjoy AFR, head on over to afr.net/alexa-skill. Then your AFR wish is Alexa's command.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Just a moment, we'll begin taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Our team is standing by. Perhaps there's that question you've been wrestling with in your financial life. We'd love to unpack it with you, help you think about it in light of biblical wisdom, because we know that God's Word has a lot to say on this topic. 2,300 verses on money and possessions, and it really starts with this idea of lordship, that we are to surrender everything that we have to the Lord, recognizing He owns it all. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And then quickly following on the heels of the lordship idea is stewardship. We're to use God's resources to fulfill His purposes. And we have a high calling as managers of the money that God has entrusted to us by the King of Kings. And that's a high calling. Genesis 2:15. Remember, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care for it. So we're to take God's creation and order it and improve it to be productive and to steward all that he has entrusted to us. And as a part of that, we're to give it away. Generosity is sharing that releases the world's grip on us. It removes the grip that money can have on us and have specifically on our hearts. And when we give, we calibrate our hearts to the Father. So if we understand those big ideas all found in Scripture, that we're to transfer ownership to God and recognize his lordship, and then we're to be good stewards and try to create financial margin to fulfill God's purposes, and then we're to grow in the grace of giving and sharing, seeing money as a tool, well, we've now put ourselves in a position to view money through the lens of Scripture, which is really how we operate from a biblical worldview. Well, we want to help you do that in light of the very practical decisions and choices you're making each day. And so what's on your mind today? Give us a call. Let's take those calls at 800-525-7000. We're going to dive in today, beginning in Alabama. Hi, Rose. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for your program. I need to change investment companies. I've been with Vanguard for a few decades, I think, and it's transitioning to a digital company and won't maintain clients who don't want to have their accounts online. And I want to ask you if you can recommend a company who can provide what I need. I need a directed beneficiary program where I can have beneficiaries on each account.
Yes.
And I need a company with a simple, qualified, charitable distribution process where I can just call and give the name of the charity and the amount of the contribution, and a check is written out to the charity and mailed to me, and then I donate it to the charity.
I see. Yes, ma'am. Have you looked into Charles Schwab by chance?
I have. They only have certain accounts that are eligible for the directed beneficiary program, only certain accounts there.
Okay, got it. And so that doesn't meet your total needs because there's some accounts that they're lacking that you need?
I have beneficiaries on every account that I have, and I don't want to have to convert it to whatever they call it, some special. You have to convert them to some special account. It's too complicated.
Yes, ma'am.
And
go ahead.
At Fidelity, it looks like you have one beneficiary list for all of your accounts combined.
You should be able to stipulate the beneficiaries per account. Those were going to be my two recommendations, Schwab or Fidelity, just because they get routinely very highly rated on customer service, and they tend to be lower on the fees. Let me just clarify, you manage all of this yourself? Is that right, Rose?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, very good. I might revisit with Fidelity exactly what you're looking for, unless you feel like you've already exhausted that option, just to see if they wouldn't be able to accommodate you specifying the beneficiary separately, because you should be able to name the beneficiary by account, and I wouldn't expect you to have to make any changes from what you have right now already in place at Vanguard. That now you may have to redesignate them as you fill out the account, formation paperwork electronically or in print. But once it's done, it should be set, and it should be able to be done at the account level as opposed to at the global level. Do you feel like that perhaps there's more there if you investigate it a bit further, or do you feel like you've already looked into that as much as you can?
No, I agree with you. I just looked at their form online. I can actually call them.
Okay.
Yeah,
very good. I think that would be my next choice, Rose, just because I'd rather you be with a national firm that's highly rated, that has a good fee schedule, low fees, with a nice digital platform that you can access if you want to do this online, but also with a toll-free customer service line that you can call if you'd rather do everything through the phone. So that would be my next choice for you to explore a bit more.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to be restricted to online communication. That's why I'm leaving Vanguard.
I see. Yeah. So you should be able to do this all through the customer service center.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Rose. I appreciate you listening and calling today. May the Lord bless you. If we can help you further, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Deborah. Go right ahead.
Hi, Ron. This is Deborah. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. My husband and I are considering a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
And I was wondering, is this a good idea, and would we lose ownership of our home if we did this?
It's a great question, and it may be a good idea. I like to look at it as a tool in the toolbox, not necessarily for everybody, but it may be a good one if you're at least 62, you have 50% equity in your home, and you're looking either to supplement your cash flow or to have a line of credit available. You do not lose ownership of your home with what's called a home equity conversion mortgage, which is the more common and newer version of a reverse mortgage. When you move out of the home or pass away, the reverse mortgage would need to be paid. And often that means the home needs to be sold, but you retain ownership of it until that time. Very similar to a conventional mortgage. The only difference is with a conventional mortgage, you have a monthly payment. With a reverse mortgage, you do not. The other difference is with a conventional mortgage, you're personally guaranteeing it. So if for some reason the home was not valued enough at the sale to satisfy the loan balance, you'd then be responsible for that. With a home equity conversion mortgage or a reverse mortgage, the federal government is guaranteeing anything beyond the value of the home. Now, normally that's not an issue because the home continues to appreciate even as you're pulling money out systematically. And even if you live a long time, let's say you live to 120, you still should have some equity. But if you did not, and let's say you were upside down, the home sale would be enough to cover it. Does that all make sense, though?
That does make sense. If I wanted to keep the home in the family, I would just sell it to a family member.
Yeah, it would just have to be, the mortgage balance would have to be repaid, and they could get that by getting a conventional mortgage or selling it. I've got to take a break. Let's finish up off the air, Deborah. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40 plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Coming up in our final segment today, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is a chief investment officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a frequent contributor on Fox Business. He joins us each Monday with his analysis on the markets and the economy. We'll find out what CPI was looking like. That's the latest read on inflation that came out last week. What about unemployment claims? That and a few other key stats related to the health of the U.S. economy and where Bob sees us going from here. That's all coming up a little later in our broadcast. But in the meantime, back to the phones today. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Larry. I understand you have a question about reverse mortgages as well. Go ahead, sir.
I do, Rob. I appreciate you talking to me again. We chatted before on this issue.
Very good.
And I just kind of want to reiterate, you know, I've got an estate that we have here, and my son's preparing to build a new home, and I wanted to help him financially for a down payment. And I currently have an IRA being required and all that, and we draw about 5% off that, and we do well with that. And it stays a good balance of 8 to 10%, so it's in a good position as well. Now, on this reverse mortgage, I was wondering, he's going to end up with this estate anyway. Would that be a good way to be able to help him financially?
Yeah, so if I understand correctly, are you trying to give him a lump sum amount right now, and you're just wanting to do it without pulling from the IRA, because obviously that would be taxable and it would deplete your investments. You'd like to let those continue to grow, but you're sitting on a lot of home equity, and so you're seeing that as perhaps another asset that you can pull from to be able to bless him with a lump sum down payment?
That's correct.
I think that certainly could work if there's not other assets available. I mean, are you all free and clear on your current property?
No, I maintained I was going to pay it off, but I was advised not to and just leave that money grow.
Okay.
You know, I'll just give you figures. It was estimated at $750, and we've got about $250 against it.
All right. And how much would you be looking to pay to take out for your son?
Oh, maybe $50,000 to $100,000.
Yeah, got it. And is this a conventional mortgage and you're paying a monthly payment on that $250?
It is. And we got a low interest rate and it costs us about $1,200.
Yeah. So the only challenge would be is you're going to give up that low interest rate you have on the $250,000 when you pay it off through the reverse mortgage. And so it's going to jump up to, you know, something closer to the prevailing rates, you know, 7%, maybe a little higher than that. And so that's the only downside here. You know, the benefit is you'd get rid of that mortgage payment. Now, if you wanted to continue to pay on it, you certainly could, but you wouldn't have to. So that goes away. And then let's say your balance is no longer 250, it's now 3 or 350 because you pull out, you know, an amount to give away to your son. And as you said, he's going to get it anyway. So that balance, whatever it is, would just be growing with interest and fees. You wouldn't have a mortgage payment if you didn't want to. And then at your death, he'd sell it and pay it off and then receive whatever other inheritance he's going to get. So I think the only downside here that I'm hearing is that you'd, you know, have a pretty good jump on the interest rate related to the existing loan when you pay it off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I was going to wait till I see what the economy does here in the next couple of years.
Okay.
I kind of feel the interest rates will drop to a point that's terrible, and we wouldn't lose that much.
Yeah.
And there again, it's all about him for me right now.
Yeah.
And he would end up with this. So when we do this, we just get a mortgage for, say, the $50,000 or $100,000 against the home. Is that how that works?
Yeah. So are you saying once you pay off the existing mortgage or right now?
Yeah, I get, that's what I need to know, how this reverse mortgage works. Does it pay off my existing mortgage?
It does.
And
yeah.
then we have no payments, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So the extra come from, I wouldn't actually be borrowing any money. The extra cash would come from the fact of not having any payments.
Yeah, that's right. But the only thing is, just to make sure this is clear, it's not possible to have a reverse mortgage as a second mortgage. So in order to access the, in order to put the reverse mortgage in place to be able to pull the additional funds out, that reverse mortgage would have to begin by paying off the existing mortgage and then giving you the cash beyond that for the gift. But none of that would require a payment, because now with a reverse mortgage, there is no monthly payment. So your balance of $250 would jump up to $300 or $350, depending on whether you pulled out $50 or $100 for your son. The payment goes away, and then that $3 or $350 is now growing with interest commensurate with the prevailing rates, and it doesn't get paid down unless you decide to, because, again, no payment required.
Okay. So it's something that we should definitely look at then.
I think it certainly is. If you're happy with the money in the IRA, the question is, where is the best place to pull these funds? Because as you said, he's going to get it anyway. I'd love to be able to bless him now as he's, you know, buying or building this house. And I'd rather not pull it from the IRA. It's doing well, plus that's taxable. Well, the benefit of the reverse is you're sitting on home equity, so it's just another asset like your IRA, except it's not taxable money. So when you pull money out of your home, there is no tax there. And secondly, it doesn't impact your lifestyle at all, because you don't have a payment on the money you're accessing for your son. In fact, it's going to improve your cash flow, because the current mortgage payment you're making on the $250 goes away. So again, the only downside is that you're going to end up with a higher interest rate on that $250 than you have currently.
Right. Well, if there's a higher rate on the $250, that's being paid off. Is that correct?
Well, but there's an interest rate attached to the reverse mortgage, and it's the prevailing rate. Let's do this. I've got to hit a break. You and I'll unpack this a little bit more off the air. Back with much more just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
A petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you. And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Just two lines open, but room for you today if you call right now. Let's go out to Ohio. Hi, Susan. How can I help you?
Well, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I live in a condo association, and I'm becoming more discontent with their rules and regulations. Mm. And so I've been looking at other properties to maybe purchase, but I can't really find something that I want. So I thought about building. And I have half of the cash that I could start building. And then I went to my financial advisor, and they suggested that I get a reconstruction loan to have until I sold my house. And I have a required minimum distribution that I give away every year. This year it's $24,000, and I give it to charity. So I could purchase property that's already built for cheaper than what I can build, but I'm not finding anything to my liking. So I'm just asking your opinion on, is this a good use of my money, or will I be greedy to build me something? I'm 74 years old.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I certainly wouldn't say you're being greedy here, Susan. I think the question is just whether you want to take on a project of this magnitude in this season of life. I mean, building a home from scratch is not for the faint of heart, just because, you know, you're going to have to get in there and design it and work with the general contractor. And, you know, it's building costs are elevated still right now. I mean, they've improved since the end of the pandemic, but they're still, some supply constraints that have building materials. The costs are high, which is why we don't have enough homes in this country, and we still have a lack of inventory. And so, I mean, could you go out and get a construction, a permanent loan that you could convert and, you know, take the funds that you have and put it down? Sure. I just wonder if that's in fact, you know, the kind of project you want to take on at this point. Do you have any experience going through this in the past? Have you ever built before?
Yes, we did. Okay. We built a house before, and I enjoyed the process. I love going and picking out all the stuff. And yeah, I know I'm older now, but I'm still, God has blessed me, and I have a lot of energy, and I still feel like I'm a young 74.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
and have you picked out, is it a new construction neighborhood where there's other properties going up and you just kind of pick from a model or several options? Or are you talking about buying raw land and basically building on your own?
No, I have talked to a contractor, and the lot is just two doors down from him. Okay. And I trust him. He's okay. A fine Christian man, which is very important to me because I've somebody's tried to take advantage of me twice since I've moved to Ohio. So he's already drawn up a plan. So I'm working with him with that.
Okay.
I haven't signed anything or, you know, at the very beginning.
No, very good. Well, I like the sound of that.
It would be totally things that I picked out. You know, he was adamant about that.
Very good. Well, I like that you've been down this road before. Now, let's talk about the financial side of it. So give me a rundown. You said you have the funds that you would available for about a half of what you think it would cost to purchase the land and the construction?
Yes. He told me it would be $320,000, and I have half of that amount of money.
Okay.
And I could use that required minimum distribution, but I want to give to charity too.
Sure.
And so my financial advisor said, well, he didn't tell me what to do, but he showed me what would happen if I used my required minimum distribution for that.
Okay.
And I didn't like that. So I'm going to continue to give my required minimum distribution to charity.
I love that. What would you have available? This wouldn't deplete all of your investable assets, would it?
Well, I have about 165. I was going to use 150 of it. He said it would take 4.5-5 months to build the house. And I think my house would sell pretty quickly. They sell out here in the condos. And I think I could get 200 for that.
Okay.
So after getting that, I would probably have about 40,000-50,000 left over after my reconstruction loan was paid off.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And so you'd have 40,000-50,000 in cash. And what are your income sources?
I have what we call PERF, which is my husband's retirement, and my Social Security.
Okay.
So
and
I have plenty of funds coming in to live on.
Okay, very good. And so if you added a $50,000 mortgage on top of your existing expenses, do you feel like you could cover that from the PERF and the Social Security and still have a little left over?
Well, I'm not going to have a mortgage. After this, the house is going to cost around $320,000, and I have $150,000, and when I pay off when I sell my house for about $200,000, you know, I'm going to have it paid off.
Yeah, I'm following you now. And you'd say
you'd have
40 to 50 left over after it's all said and done. So that makes sense. And what do you typically have in surplus at the end of the month right now, Susan?
Oh, probably if I don't spend like I really like to, I could have as much as $3,000 sometimes left over.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly on board with this. I mean, you need to recognize, and I don't know how he's going to do the contract, whether he's going to give you a not to exceed price that's guaranteed or not. But the average cost overrun for construction projects is between 10 and 20%. So you need to factor that in. So on a $300,000 home, that could be, you know, as much as $30,000 to $60,000 that it could go over. So you don't want to spend right up to the limit of your loan if you get that construction loan, recognizing that it could take, let's say he says 4 to 5, maybe it ends up taking 6 months or more. You just need to be prepared to kind of cover the float there. The nice thing is it sounds like if you tighten your belt a little bit, you've got plenty there that you could cover the cost of the construction loan while you're waiting for the home to be built and then ultimately for your condo to be sold. And then the key is once it all shakes out, you know, let's say there are cost overruns and instead of 40 to 50, you have, you know, 10 to 20. I mean, I think that would be my only concern is I'd like for you to have at least 6 months worth of expenses still in reserves. And so I just want to make sure that, you know, if it takes longer and it's more expensive than he anticipates, maybe for reasons even out of his control, you know, are you going to get down to where you just don't have very much cash left? Now, if you can build that up at $3,000 a month, then, you know, you'd be in good shape to be able to build that back up to where you want it. I guess that's my only concern in this is that, you know, you get so low in cash that your house poor, so to speak, because you've got all of your money tied up in your home. I love the fact that you have good income. I love the fact that you're able to keep your expenses modest and you've built through, you've done this before, and you have a trusted contractor that you know personally. So all those are good things. Just make sure you understand what that guaranteed contract is and whether you're responsible for overages and whether that could deplete your cash savings. So other than that, I like your plan here, Susan. I think it makes a lot of sense. Let's finish up off the air here. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we recognize God owns it all. We're stewards. Money's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Taking your calls and questions today. But here on a Monday, as we begin the new investing week, we're joined in this segment by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where he's also Chief Executive Officer. And Bob, it's great to have you as we start a new week. Good morning.
Happy Monday, Rob.
Hey, it's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken. Why don't you just kind of summarize what's going on in the markets and the latest economic data? What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, we got a good inflation report last week, actually two of them, the CPI and the PPI, a little better than expected. You'll recall, Rob, that's after a string of disappointments on the upside. So 1 month never makes a trend, and we hope for a couple of more like this. More importantly, the Fed does, because they'd like to cut interest rates. The probability that they cut rates before the end of the year with this good report has gone up some. That's been the main event. I'd say the secondary observations are generally slowing economy. The numbers that come out are mixed. You'll get a good number, and then you'll get a not-so-good number. It's not uniformly constructive like it was the first few months of this year. The economy is slowing.
Interesting. Yeah, Bob, what about just what you're hearing from companies as they're reporting, they're issuing guidance, they're revising their estimates? Just distill that for us in terms of what you're hearing.
Yeah, I'd say company managements are cautious. They have been, and that's what has kept their results pretty good, meaning they haven't overspent such that the good news on the top line has translated to good news on the bottom line. I think many of them are still wondering, inflation, is it going to be a problem? They're still seeing in pockets increases in raw materials, labor costs have gone up. It's tough to find workers, I hear a lot of them saying, tough to find good qualified workers. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. There's always uncertainty about the future. Only the Lord knows for sure what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'd say the level of uncertainty in the economy and markets is a little higher, and then you layer the geopolitical and election concerns on top of it, and you can get bent out of shape pretty fast, Rob.
Yeah, oh, no doubt about it. Bob, I guess one of the other challenges, and we've talked about this before, is just that, you know, the expectations for next year. I think, you know, you've told us that earnings are projected to be at 13% gain next year for 2025. I mean, living up to the expectations is going to require almost near perfection, right?
I agree. You know, some of us still haven't taken the word recession out of our vocabulary. Certainly, if we have one, there's no way we'll get plus 13. But even if we have an economic slowdown, to get another year of double-digit earnings growth is going to be pretty difficult. So I'm concerned about earnings disappointments in the coming quarters.
Yeah. What about those who have a high concentration in the bond category, Bob? What is going on as of late, and what is your forward-looking thoughts there?
Well, as you know, the slowing in the economy and the better-than-expected inflation news has allowed bonds to trade up. They're still down most bonds year to date, but we've seen a rally in the 10-year Treasury yield from 460-ish to now 429 as we speak. So interest rates have come down some, and there's hope with a slowing economy and continued okay news on inflation that we could see somewhat lower rates, enabling the Fed to cut rates as well.
Yeah. For somebody who's looking for just stable growth, I mean, do you feel like at 420, this is a good time to lock in a 10-year treasury if you can hold to maturity?
It's not a bad idea. It's one of the better ideas within fixed income. Corporate bonds, high yield bonds are pretty expensive relative to treasuries. I'd sure love to see people buy those bonds after we've seen a sell-off, not after we've seen a big rally, if they have some time flexibility.
Yeah. All right. Very good. And then finally, Bob, I know we've gotten some unemployment data. What do you make of that?
Yeah, the unemployment data, what we've gotten since you and I last talked are the initial unemployment claims. And the ones last week, it was an uptick in the number of those claims, the highest level since last August. And I make make the point in Dahl's deliberations this week that certainly we're not at a high level, but we're moving up, and that direction does add to the points of economic slowdown.
All right, very good. Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
My privilege.
All right, that's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can sign up to receive his free weekly Dahl's Deliberations market commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll round out the broadcast today with your questions. We've got room for maybe one or two more questions at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's see. We'll go to Illinois. Hi, Sharla. How can I help?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Calling for a family member that we've been trying to help for a couple of years, has some long-term medical issues that are not going away anytime soon. We did finally get Social Security disability, which took some time. That person was unable to work during that time. Also had a glitch in some insurance, and so has incurred an excessive amount of medical debt, approximately $200,000, just barely living as far as living expenses are tighter, of course, now. So, you know, nothing extra, no savings. And we're just really, we're a close family. So we're trying to figure out, and we have been helping off and on, but we're just kind of trying to figure out where to go with this medical debt.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate that, Sharla. I mean, the reality is that debt may just never be paid back in full, and all they can do with your help or on their own is try. and just do the best that they can with the resources they have. So typically what you would start with is doing a budget overhaul and really determining how much margin is there on a monthly basis. That's the amount that can be used to repay these bills. And then contact each medical provider's financial office and get an itemized bill. And then as a result of the work that you do on the budget, offer a monthly amount to each. And if it's accepted, then make sure you honor those agreements. And then just pay on it as best you can, you know, over the balance of their life. And Lord willing, you'll pay it back. But in the event you don't, then, you know, it would either be handled by the estate or it would go away. So I think that's, you know, typically the approach you'd want to take here is just recognize we may not ever get this paid back, but all we can do is all we can do. Does that make sense?
It does. Unfortunately, several of these bills have now gone to creditors, and then I don't have the verbiage, but the next level past creditor, then that has proceeded to that as well. So I'm really not sure how that process works when it has left the healthcare provider and then kind of gone into the second step of that process.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, they've just sold the debt to a collection agency or hired someone to collect on it for them. And so you may have to work with that, you know, company instead of the original provider. But I think the idea here is that they recognize something is better than nothing. And so if you have the ability to send a consistent amount every month that fits into the budget, whether that's on their own or with your assistance, then I think, you know, that's the time to call and say, hey, you know, this is what we have available and we can send monthly and we're happy to start doing that and see if you can get them to agree to that amount so that now you're essentially, you know, an on-time payer because you're paying as agreed. Now, they may not be willing to take with an official agreement what it is you're able to provide. They may want more. But you can only do what you can do. And so I think working with whoever owns the debt currently is the place to go to try to work out a payment plan.
Okay. And can they come back on a homeowner if they're, of course, still paying mortgage on their home? But can they collect on that debt through either a home or any other type of asset?
No, for all intents and purposes, I mean, you'd need to talk to an attorney. You know, is it possible that they could win a judgment that, you know, would involve a home? It's possible, but not likely. And so, you know, I would, you know, probably contact an attorney if you want to understand exactly, just based on the laws in your state there, Sharla, what is and what is not possible. If a judgment is sought against you to satisfy or your family member to satisfy those unpaid bills. But, you know, the many states have property lien laws that allow creditors, such as a hospital, to place a lien on an individual's home when they're unable to pay their bills. But it really just depends on what's going on in your state. So I would check with an attorney.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your assistance.
You are so welcome, Sharla. We appreciate your call today. Jack, I apologize we didn't get to you. I understand you have a question about a reverse mortgage. Let's see if we can get you scheduled to be first up tomorrow on the broadcast. In fact, I won't be here tomorrow, but it would be Wednesday, so we could do it then. So you stay on the line. Our team will pick up the line and see if we can get you scheduled for that. Folks, so thankful to have you along with us today. I was off last week spending some time with one of my children out west and doing some dad-daughter time, but great to be back with you and always enjoy the opportunity to be able to unpack God's Word and help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Here's our goal here at FaithFi, that you would see God as your ultimate treasure. Let me say a big thanks to my team today, Autumn handling our phones today, as well as Devin, our producer, and Jim providing great research today. Let me also mention, as we head toward the end of our fiscal year here at FaithFi, June the 30th, this is a really important time for us to hear from you as we try to close out our listener giving goal for the year. You can make a gift one time or monthly when you visit faithfi.com. Just click give. In the meantime, may God bless you, and we'll look forward to seeing you real soon. Thanks for being with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.